Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful day. We would like you all to stand this morning. We want to take a few extra moments and pray for Florida. Many of you don't realize some of the things that are happening across the United States. It's not just in Florida. We were just in Idaho. There are fires all over Montana, all over Oregon, all over Idaho. Within a four-state area, they've had 141 earthquakes in the Idaho area since Saturday. As well as we're looking at still, we don't want to forget to pray for the folks that are down in Texas that are still underwater. As well as even our bishop is down in Florida and he has stayed in his house. And so we want to pray for the bishop, Bishop Rick Thomas, and his family. So let's bow our head. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you are a good God. Lord, no matter what the devil's tried to bring for bad, we know that you can turn it for good. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, we release a hedge of protection around all of those that are born again. God, the churches in Jesus' name. Father, keep the churches, keep the buildings, Father, that the people will remain in hope. God, they'll have a place to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we ask, God, that every believer will be safe, that God angels will be released to protect and keep us safe, and that Jesus, you will always bring forth your glory through this situation. So we ask in the name of Jesus that you, Lord, will bless the people of God. Lord, bless them. Let the world see that, God, they are your children. And that, Father, they are protected by heaven. Lord, today in this room, we just declare a mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit. God, we expect and accept nothing less than your presence to fill this room. Lord, we're here with expectant hearts to have heaven fill this house. That, Lord, every one of us who have a need will be touched and changed. God, those that are brokenhearted will be healed. God, those that are physically sick will be set free. God, those that are in bondage, the devil can't keep down. Those that need to be saved will be washed by the blood of Jesus. Changed forever for the glory of heaven. Lord, we thank you that today is called today. We're not going to let it escape. God, we're going to praise you in the morning, praise you in the noontime, and praise you all day long. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. We give you all the honor and the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, are you ready to worship? I said, are you ready to worship? Let's bless Jesus this morning.
Can I hear a shout for Jesus? And ever. How great your name.
Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your praise. Oh, glorious. You are glorious.
I see you jumping around a little bit. Jump, 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 jump.
Shine, Jesus, you shine.
So God, we praise you.
Shout your grace, our hearts will. our breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Lord.
It's our breath
in our lungs. So we pour out our praise.
Pour out our praise
in our breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Lord.
Start thanking him out loud. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for gracing us with your presence, God.
You're my hope and
somebody at a bus stop before? You drive by and they're waiting at a bus stop. They were 10 minutes late to the bus stop. So now they got to wait for the whole next route to come into play. You know, this morning, we're all standing in the presence of Jesus. Everything we need is available right here. If you're not born again, before we ever even do the sermon, you can say, Jesus, I want you in my life. If today you're in bondage, he can set you free. Today, if you need healing, he can heal your body. Today, if your mind needs a touch, he can touch your mind. Today, if you're in bondage to a drug or an alcohol or even depression, Jesus can set you free, and free indeed. But listen, don't be late to the bus stop. He's coming through. This song brings him. Because the moment you start relying upon Jesus, he always shows up. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I trust in the name of the Lord my God. Today we have a choice. You can wait for the next bus to come through, baby, or you can get on this one. And I don't know where you are, I don't know what you need, but I know this. Jesus is good and he loves you very much. And if you will cast your cares upon him, he'll take care of you. I need thee. Some of you have been needing everything else. You need a girl, you need a guy, you need more money, you need this, you need that. Listen, all of those things are only temporary satisfactions. There's only one you need, and his name is Jesus. I said there's only one that you need, and his name is Jesus. So when we sing this song again, don't sing it halfway. Some of you need to kneel down in your chair. Some of you need to come to the front. Some of you need to abandon wherever you are. But it's time to say, God, in all my getting, I'm getting hold of you. I need Jesus like I've never needed him before. And when you do that, you'll feel the flood of the Holy Ghost come in your life. You'll feel the anointing, the unction of God being released in your situation. And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Come on, sing it with all you have this morning. I need you, Jesus.
My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
Father, we just thank you that this morning we recognize, God, the only one we really need is you. So, Jesus, we run to you. We kneel before you. And we declare, my life is in you. For in him we live and move and have our being. So, Holy Spirit, today we just want to thank you that everything that you have for us is available. God is healing somebody from your right ear. The pain shoots up to the crown of your head. I have no clue what that is, and you might not either. But it's worrying you and concerning you. In fact, it's kept you up. The devil's been trying to torment you in your mind. Father, I just speak right now to the cause, and I curse the pain and the root of the cause, and I command it to be loosed right now in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you that your goodness is upon us. I speak to intestinal problems right now in the name of Jesus. I command right now even pockets to shrivel up and shrink right now, and God, the colon to come back to normal process. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus that right now those that have been struggling, Father, with pain in their intestines and constipation, that right now, God, their body will be normal for the glory of God in Jesus' name. I speak right now, God, to those that are struggling with allergies, and I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Lord, you healed me many years ago. If you healed me, you'll heal anybody. So, God, in Jesus' name, I rebuke allergies right now to come out of the body. Lord, histamine, Lord, to be balanced out in everybody's body in Jesus' name. God, I just thank you that every situation we have in our life, you care so much. You care so much. Lord, we rebuke the spirit of fear, God, that so quickly tries to attack us and latch us and hold us into captivity. And we declare you foul spirit of fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. And our God is for us and not against us. And we have victory in his name for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, I can't hear you. I said, everybody said. On the way back to your chair, make sure you welcome at least five people you don't know. Shake their hands and say, good morning. Thank God you're in the presence of Jesus. Come on, go find somebody. Get right out of your chair.
Good morning, you look just marvelous today.
Come on, don't be a snob, don't be a snob.
Is it love? If it was, am I living it? Do I live in it? So astounding. Love is an ocean, you can drown me. The sweet embrace, the lovely taste, I taste and see. I'm under grace, the place to be. It means I'll never need an umbrella. I'm cool in the cold, in the hot weather. Whether or never I ever understand, I'm a man in the hands of great plans. I stand with faith and a life I never known to touch. And still I stop my clutch, but I'm like, what's the dream of?
What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways? You work too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
Okay, everybody, let's get this thing rolling. I need some good ideas for the next Awaken Monthly.
Let's do a fiesta.
I like it. Give me some activities.
I mean, we can have a pepper eating contest.
Sure, what else?
We should get tacos.
Well, it's kind of a given, but yeah, sure.
How about a mechanical bull?
Yes, keep them coming.
I really want tacos.
Yes, Marcus, we know.
Yeah, and if you bring a friend, you can win a Moe's gift card.
I love it. Marcus, do you have any actual ideas? Where did you... Any other ideas? Everyone just leave.
Good morning, His Tabernacle family. We want to remind you once again about our volunteer breakfast that's coming up September 30th at 9 a.m. Yes, for you workers and volunteers, we want to be a blessing to you. So we are providing a breakfast, and guess who's serving you? It's going to be your leaders and pastors. So make sure you sign up with your leader today, September 30th, 9 a.m. Come out and eat some breakfast.
Hey, we want to remind you. That's so it.
What?
Can't
hear you.
Can't
understand you.
What?
How about now?
Yeah, that's better.
We're good?
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, we want to remind you about the water baptism that's coming up September 24th. At 9 or 11 o'clock, we're going to be doing the next water baptism. You want to make sure that you sign up. You can go to the hub out in the foyer, or you can also go online at histabernacle.com, click on water baptism, and sign up. Again, the next one, September 24th, either 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. Make sure you sign up today.
What'd it look like? Practicing for the dunk tank.
You know that's an auction, right? And there's gonna be more things to do at Welcome Home Weekend than just that. There's gonna be like food and games and a lip sync battle and then a movie under the stars.
I'll dunk you for 500.
session today, sometimes you have to take extreme measures to get millennials to come to church. So with that being said, tonight is our fiesta. Pastor Chad's going to talk more about it in a little bit. But if you're a guest in the house, we're not crazy, I promise. We just love Jesus. Would you raise your hand? We're not going to embarrass you. We have a guest packet. We want to get you just with some information. Let's clap for our guests. Welcome. We love you. We're excited to have you. In there, you'll find a ticket for guest reception right after service. To my left, your right, in a room, we have coffee and snacks, and you get a chance to meet with our pastors and just kind of hear about what we're all about. If you're watching via live stream, welcome. We love you. You're our family. We so appreciate you tuning in. All right, September 23rd, we have worship tryouts. Now, we all make a joyful noise unto the Lord, yes, but there's certain specific people that we need on our worship team. So if you have musical talent, real musical talent, and if you're not sure, you know, you can turn to your neighbor and sing a little, and I'm sure they'll let you know if you can come and audition. But the 23rd, please come. I think it is Saturday morning. Meet with Mackenzie, get with her, she'll give you more information.
I'm pretty killer at the triangle, so I'm going to be seeing Mackenzie about the worship tryouts. But on September 24th, that Sunday, we are doing the baptisms. This is so important for your spiritual walk and your relationship with Jesus. So if you have not yet signed up, make sure you go out to the hub or you go online at histabernacle.com and sign up for the water baptisms. And so before we came out, my wife looked at me and said, "We're wearing sombreros. We are fun." And so we have sombreros on because our young adult service is tonight, 5:30 p.m. We are having a fiesta. If you're between the ages of 18 and 30, I want you to lift your hand up real quick. Raise it high and proud. If my people could start passing some stuff out, we want to invite you. 5:30 tonight. And listen, some of y'all, you can come up to the altar afterwards because we know you're not under 30, but it's okay. So Mechanical Bull, tacos, Jesus, we want to see you there. And Pastor Rhonda is now going to come give a word on the tithe and offering.
Amen. We're entering into our time of tithes and offerings. And I pray that you came prepared to honor our King. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration that is simply the word of God. We're going to quote together Deuteronomy 28. And if you'll shout it out, it says, "If I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed." Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button or even text to give right along with us.
Thank you.
Isn't it exciting watching people give to the King? I love that. We want to just take one more moment and pray for the bishop. I just heard from him. We are doing well with about 2 or 3 hours left to go through the hurricane. So they're right now in Margate, Florida. The hurricane is going through. They recently just had a 100-mile-an-hour gust go through. And the bishop is there, his family is there, and we want to pray for them. Amen? How many of we love our bishop? Amen? Isn't he an amazing man of God? We're so blessed to have him in our lives and his covering, but also, wow, what an anointing he carries. Father, right now we just, right now we cover the bishop and his family in Jesus' name, Pastor Kathy. We declare, God, that their house is protected. We declare, God, there'll be peace in the home. We declare, God, that blessing will be there. And that, Lord, the building will not be affected, either their home or that beautiful church. Not one pane of glass broken for the glory of God. And, Lord, we give you all the honor and praise. Thank you for bringing them in our lives. That, God, we can have an oversight that truly is led by the Holy Ghost and truly loves you and us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. My wife and I just returned from Idaho. What's in Idaho? Well, we have a pastor friend that we had met a few years ago because I ride bicycle. Now, how many of you knew I ride bicycle? I know you can't tell because of my stomach. But besides that, I'm very strong. And so he said, I'd like to have you come out. And we were able last week. Now, remember, wherever I am, we are. Last week, we ministered to over 1,600 people from California to 4 other campuses. When we preached the gospel, over 1,600 people heard the word of the Lord and were blessed. They were very excited. And I just want to say thank you for allowing your pastor to go out sometimes and preach. Why is that? Because it keeps me fresh. Keeps me in, and it pulls me into a different level of my gift. And so I just want to say thank you as your pastor. Thank you for allowing my wife and I to go. You know, this month we have a phenomenal man of God. How many remember the Sheltons from last year? Wow, powerful move of the Spirit we had. But you see, I want you to know as your pastor, when we bring in guest speakers, we don't just bring in guest speakers. We bring in people that we are expecting to leave a deposit. And the ministry that these two young people have done, glory to Jesus, amen. These two young people have done all over the world, literally all over the world. He leaves for New Zealand in 2 weeks to do ministry in New Zealand with pastors all over that country. And we get to have him right here in Horseheads, New York. Next month, we're having Pastor John Avanzini. How many of you ever heard of Brother John Avanzini? Oh, my goodness. He's 82 years old. I always try to bring in, not that I'm bringing you in because you're old, but I try to bring in mature, I'm talking like the seasoned guys that we might not ever be able to see again. And so next month, Brother John Avanzini, if you have never heard the word of God, the anointing that he carries, dear Lord, next month is going to be awesome too. I heard last Sunday was a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. I got to watch it on live stream. So this morning we want to welcome Pastor Rick Shelton and his beautiful wife. If they'll come on up and introduce you and your family. And let's give him his tabernacle welcome. Let's love on them.
I love these guys. You have great pastors, you know that? We were senior pastors for many, many years, 36 at the church that we started in St. Louis and 2.5 before that. And I'm just telling you that you don't, it's not a 9-to-5 job. It isn't something that you can clock out of and go home and then just think something else or do something else. It's 24/7. Because you carry the weight of the people that you serve on your heart, in your heart, all the time. And I know that your pastors here love you guys dearly, and all of their concern is for you and for this area. For this area. For this area. And you are the seed for what God is going to bring. And you are, as you are here and enjoying what God is doing, in your heart you say, I am seed for those, the harvest that's coming. And you see, the seed has to be planted. Seed can't lay on top of the ground. It has to be planted in order to grow and to bear fruit. And I know that this church is going to bear fruit in the days to come. And we just are praying over this church and praying over this area because we see a cloud on the horizon of all the things that God is going to do. We're always happy to come up here and be with you. We love you.
Isn't she cute? Yeah. I found that little girl there, and she was raised in Virginia. I was raised in St. Louis, Missouri. She was raised in the mountains of Virginia. We met in college in Houston, Texas, and found myself a little mountain girl, and that's been a long time ago. How long ago? 44 years ago. Got married 44 years. And so anyway, as my wife said, we are excited to be here today, and I really feel a sense of destiny and purpose about this moment here with you guys. I feel a burden in my heart for the word that God has given me to speak today, and I want to know, are you all ready for it? Yeah. Are you ready? Well, I would like for you to do this. Stand to your feet with me, if you would, just one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just help me to let's just pray. Father, I just pray right now. I pray for this moment that we enter into, God, of your hearing your word. Father God, I pray as I speak your word and the people listen, and you move by your spirit, God, that this becomes a divine moment of destiny. Lord God, where people's hearts are shifted and turn, move, God, into a higher level or a different dimension or a different direction, Lord God. I pray, God, let this word be, God, like a sword, God, that goes into the hearts and the minds of the people, that no one shall leave here the way they came, but we shall all leave changed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of your word. I yield myself to you now, and I humble myself into your hands, God, that you may speak through me in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
All right, you can be seated. Here's what I want to do today. I got to thinking about this church and what I feel about this church. We go to many churches, as your pastor said, around the world. But you know, when I come here, when I was here yesterday talking with some of the team and here today, and I was here last year, there's obviously this is already a great church, but there's a sense of destiny on this place. There's a sense, what I mean by that is there's a sense of destiny means there's a sense that there's something much greater that is to come than what is being experienced right now, that there's something far greater, much more than where you are right now. And if that's the case, then there are certain elements that have to be in place in order for us to move to that greater place or those different realms of growth and harvest. And as I've traveled the world, I've been to a lot of churches that are large churches, world-impacting churches, nation-impacting churches. And in all of those churches, they have, without exception, they each have a certain culture, certain elements of their culture in that church. And any world-packing church I've ever seen has these elements in their culture. Do you understand what I mean by that? There's a culture in every church. You know, there's a culture actually in every family, in every home. And so some of those elements of culture are actually, number one is unconditional love. There's a sense that in a church that impacts the world, there's a sense in the atmosphere, when people walk into the place, that I'm accepted just the way I am, that I am loved right where I am. It's not that we don't preach the word. We preach the word. We don't compromise our convictions in the word. But by the same token, we don't try to change people in order for us to love them. And we don't try to clean the fish before we catch them. There's a culture in these churches where that everyone is accepted right where they are and loved right where they are, so that God can have the time while they sit there to work on them, to change them into what he wants them to be. Are y'all out there? So unconditional love. And I thought about this. Every world-impacting church has a culture of evangelism. And when I say the word evangelism, you know, really what I mean is simply this, is world-impacting churches, in the very culture of their church, there's this sense that the church does not exist for the people who already go there. Listen to this. But the church exists and functions for the people who are yet to come. Do you understand? You understand? In other words, it has to do with whether the sun revolves, we revolve around the sun, or sun revolves around us. You know, it's like it's a completely different paradigm. You know, many churches will have evangelism as a program or some kind of outreach effort that they, you know, that they have in the church. But yet the church still exists serving the members as consumers, so that the people have the mindset that we're here so the church is to bless us. But world-impacting churches have a completely different mindset. There's this mindset that every person that walks in the door is designed to be used by God and not to be a consumer and to be blessed, that you're not here for yourself, you're here for the people that are yet to come. And when we understand that, then we don't, you know, we don't demand that the church, you know, caters to our every little need, but what we do demand is this. The next element of culture in every world-impacting church I've seen is they have a culture of discipleship. And that's another big word, but here's what I mean by that. Now listen, it doesn't mean they have a discipleship program. Every world-impacting church has in its DNA, in the very fabric of its culture, there's this sense among all the people that I am here for one purpose, and that is not just to sit and enjoy the services, but to be here to be trained and raised up to be used of God with my gifts. And you understand that? In other words, that it totally changes this mentality that many people have in the modern church today, to where that they come and that they're here to be blessed, you know, but any world-impacting churches always have in their culture this idea among the people that the people are here only to be raised up. We're only here to be discipled and trained, so that every member of the church is not a consumer, but they are a participator in carrying out the vision of the house. Are you with me now? Now, I've said all that, actually, although that's none of that is my message. But I said that, although it is, obviously, or I wouldn't want to say it if I didn't want to say it. But it brings me to this point, and that is my message today. Is on faith. But let me explain to you like this. Every world-impacting church that I've ever seen has as one of its primary elements in its culture a culture of faith, a spirit of faith. Now listen to me what I mean when I say that. It doesn't just mean that we preach faith, you know, and that hope that everybody gets it, you know, and some people end up having great faith. But many people in the church are just kind of riding on other people's faith, you know, and barely making it through the week, you know, and barely making it from service to service, you know. But if we want to be a world-impacting church, every member in the house must adopt this idea and embrace this idea that I need to set out on a course to build a strong faith in my life to where I can see miracles happen. Not because the pastor prays or because somebody in the Bible study or prayer group prays, but because I got on my knees and I prayed in the midnight hour and I run the devil off of my kids, my household. Are you with me now? That kind of spirit of faith. Without that kind of spirit of faith, absolutely no forward motion takes place in the kingdom of God corporately or in our lives individually. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And I could talk about that from many places, but I felt the Lord said, Rick, there's destiny on this house. Build a spirit of faith for a new season in this house. The passage I want to go to build this faith today is 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And I love little passages like this because they're so familiar, but people miss the potency of them. It's 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Listen to this. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now, this little passage is potent because it has several powerful elements of truth laid out in it. And the first one is this, and that is the statement that grips me where he says that for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, I got to tell you this, that many people read this passage of Scripture and they just use it for encouragement. You know, much like Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, you see that on, locker room walls and, you know, sports teams. And you see some guys with it painted on their forehead, you know, Philippians 4:13. And really what they're doing is they're taking that verse as like a motivational scripture, you know, to like a positive thinking, you know, motivation to encourage them or to inspire them. But folks, that's not what this scripture is made for. This scripture is not designed to motivate us or, you know, just to encourage us. Scriptures like this, we miss it when we try to take these passages for inspiration and encouragement instead of, listen to this, instead of identity. This passage is all about identity. In fact, if you look at the language of it, the way it's written, it's not even talking about what you do. It's talking about who you are. Notice the statement, the phrase, the way he says it. He says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. It's a state of overcoming. He's not making a commission here. He doesn't say those who are born of God should overcome the world, go overcome the world. He's not making this as a promise. He doesn't say whatever is born of God, you will, I promise you, you'll overcome the world. He says whatever is born of God overcomes. There's this overcoming DNA on the inside of them. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you couple that with back in creation, in Genesis chapter 1, 26, whenever God's creating man, and when he decides to make man, he says, let us make man, let's make him in our image, in our likeness, and he says, let them have dominion. Now, it's fascinating to me. Now, follow with me carefully, if you will. It's fascinating to me that right when God is getting ready to make man, the statement that he's issuing forth when he says, let's do it, in that moment, he could have said anything he wanted to say about man. Because you got to understand, when God is speaking during this whole creation event, starting from with let there be, you know, light and everything else, that when God is speaking, that it's more than saying something. God is actually issuing forth a creative element out of himself into the world. Are you with me now? So whenever God says, let's make man, and then the first thing he says is, let them have dominion. You got to understand God's not just saying, and you know what? This man is going to go have dominion. He's going to go have victory. He's going to reign in life. It's not what he's saying. When God says, let them have dominion, he's saying it in the same way that he said, let there be light, and there was light. When God said, let there be light, he wasn't telling the light, now light, you need to go shine. The light would shine because it was in its DNA to shine. When God said, let there be light, he was issuing forth out of himself the very elements of his nature that he wanted to be in that sun in order to shine and bring light. So he said, let there be light. And boom, light was. And when God says to man, let's create, God says about man, let's create man. And then he says, let them have dominion. You could say that God said, let them have dominion. And they had dominion. Because God's word was issuing the very life of God out of him, the very authority and dominion of God out of him into man. And God was putting forth by his word into man the very nature of his authority and his dominion. Now, what in the world does all that mean? Listen to me. What in the world does all that mean? Here's what it means. Many times when people think of walking or living by faith or having dominion over the world, it says, though, you know, what is born of God overcomes the world, and we overcome by our faith. Most of the time when we're thinking about those things, we're thinking about going and doing something. But God is not talking about what we do here. He's talking about who we are. Explain to you what I mean. Take the passage again. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. If he says that emphatically, and he's talking about what we do, then it would be irreconcilable with the fact that we don't overcome all the time. I don't overcome all the time. There are times whenever there's battles I've won and battles I've lost. There's things I've struggled through. You know, the enemy comes against me and you say, well, that doesn't look like we're overcoming. Y'all listen to me now. But it's not talking about what you're experiencing. It's talking about, watch this. It's not talking about what's happening to you. It's talking about what's happening in you and through you while what is happening to you is happening to you. You get it? You get it? Thank you for that patty cake there. Listen. Listen. When he says whatever's born of God overcomes the world, what he's saying is, listen, no, you can't dictate or determine what happens around you, what hell comes or doesn't come around you, or what obstacles you face, or what hell comes against you. You cannot determine all of that. But what he's saying is what you can determine is to walk by the very nature of the DNA that's on the inside of you that says that no matter what I'm experiencing out there, I am not going to let the hell get on the inside of me. I am not going to let that battle and that war and that defeat, oh, listen to me, get on the inside of me. I may not out there be experiencing overcoming at the moment, but let it be known inside of this little circle right here that I am an overcomer. Are you listening to me now? He's talking about what happens in you and through you, instead not what's happening to you. Because you got to understand this. Listen, if you keep victory, if you keep a spirit of faith on the inside, even though hell is raging on the outside, eventually the victory that's reigning on the inside will change the hell on the outside. Watch this. But when the hell comes on the outside, if you let that hell on the outside get on the inside of you, in your soul, in your emotions, in your psyche, listen, then it will be impossible for you to change. You know, let's put it this way. It's one thing to fight an enemy that's outside the camp, but it's quite another to fight an enemy once he's got on the inside of the camp. Are you listening to me now? So he says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. He's talking about identity. Listen to this. I was preached faith when I was a kid. I mean, I had heard messages on faith, but to me it was always, you know, I never got it. It was always this idea that, you know, all right, I just need to pray and I need to, you know, believe God, you know, and you know, I just hope that God will do something. Believe that God will do something. Listen, it wasn't until after I had already entered ministry that I began to understand, but through getting in the Word, that what it means to live by faith is it means to live with your identity determined by who God has made you to be and what he has given you and what he has enabled you to do, rather than living by what the world dictates to you. That's why he says those born of what is born of God overcomes the world. Let's say you take a millionaire, for example. I thought of this. If you take millionaires, you know, or multimillionaires, and it's always interesting to me. I've heard many of their testimonies, and time and time again, I've heard guys say, you know, well, I made several million dollars, and then something happened. There was a downturn in the economy or something else happened, and they lost it all. But then when they lost it all, within a few years, they had it all back again. And in some of their testimonies said they lost it a second time, and they got it back again the second time. And I thought about that. I thought most people can't get it the first time. How in the world do they get it and lose it and get it back two times? Are you with me now? And I begin to realize here's the reason why. And that is that they were a millionaire when they had millions in the bank. But when they didn't have a dime to their name, it didn't change who they viewed themselves as. A millionaire was not what they had in the bank. It's who they viewed themselves as, who they were, what their identity was. You take this thing on the flip side, and you look at people who've been raised in poverty all their life, and then they win the lottery. You ever heard these stories? Time and time again, they win millions. And then within 5 years, they're back to living in poverty again. You know why? It's because when millions was put in their bank account, it did not change who they were. And so we always revert back to who we are or who we see ourselves as. We don't, so the money on the outside doesn't dictate to us who we are. Our who we are is determined by the identity that we receive in the Word of God. Now, just listen to me very carefully. Whenever you understand this, he says, whatever is born of God overcomes. We've been talking about overcomes. But he says what? He says, overcomes the world. And I thought about that. What does that mean? Because we know that Christianity is not like Islam, where Islam is a political side to it as well as a, you know, spiritual side. And so, but Christianity has no political side to it. There's no world domination element to Christianity. And, you know, it's not we're take over the world by taking over the governments. So when he says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, he can be talking about world domination. So what is it he's talking about? When he said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, if you look at the word world there, it's the word in the Greek that means this age or this world system. So when he says whatever's born of God overcomes the world, he's saying whatever's born of God, whoever's born of God, overcomes this world system. Now what in the world does that mean? Listen, this is so important. He says you're overcoming you have to understand in order to overcome that you live in two worlds. You live in two world systems. There's the system of this world that is motivated and run by greed and selfishness and self-gratification, all of those things. And then there is heaven's system. You listen to me now. Heaven's system that is dictated to by the Word of God. And so there are these two systems, and he's saying here, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. He's saying to walk in victory by faith is to walk in victory over this world system. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Look with me here in the book of Luke. In the book of Luke and chapter 4. I think it's where I'm at. There it is. Luke 4. Here we go. Watch this. Now, this is Jesus when he was taken up on the mountain. Watch this. And to be tempted by the devil. And when he gets up there, here's what it says. Here's what it says happens. He says, then Luke 4, 5. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and all their glory, for this has been delivered to me. And I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. So what's happening here? Look at this. Of course, we know Jesus said, no, get behind me, Satan. You worship the Lord, your God only, and only him shall you serve. But what's happening here? Look at this. When Satan takes him up on a high mountain, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. So he shows him all these things of the world in a moment of time. And he says to him, he says, Jesus, all this authority I will give you and all the glory of these kingdoms that I am going to give you. And he says, if you will just bow down and worship me. Now, look, if you see the beauty of this, the infrastructure of this temptation, you can see how it is we lose the battle many times and what God is calling us to do. When Jesus goes in this mountain and Satan says, I present to you all the kingdoms of this world, their authority I'll give to you and all their glory if you'll just bow down and worship before me. Here is what Jesus was thinking. Jesus was thinking, wait a minute. Satan, you're offering me all of these kingdoms of this world with their authority and their glory, right? He said, God, my Father, has already promised me everything that you're offering to me right now. It's like you think, wait a minute. They've already been promised. I don't have them yet, but they've been promised. So God's already promised them to me now. And you're offering to me the same thing that God's promised me, except the only difference is your offer is I can have it now instead of later whenever it's God's time. Y'all missed a good point there. Listen. Ah, my God. I'm talking about overcoming the world. This is the way the world works, the spirit of the world. God promises us that he wants us blessed, that he wants us to walk in victory, wants us to walk in health. You know, God wants abundant blessing on our life. He's promised us all that. What Satan's temptation is Satan's temptation is always to get us to try to get what God has promised us, but to get it in our own way, in our own time, instead of waiting for God's way in his time. In essence, that's the nature of the temptation of the world that God's called us to overcome. It's the temptation to want to have now what God already wants for us, but he, watch this, the difference is God promises us this incredible life, an incredible blessing in our life, but with God's promise, there's always a process. And the process takes time. And God says, I'm going to give you my promise, I promise you, but first I'm going to take you through a process. And part of the process is you're going to walk through blindness, seasons of blindness, where you don't know when the thing's going to come to pass. You're going to think it's overtime. You're going to think I forgot. You're going to think that all of a sudden this thing's not going to happen because it should have happened by now. He said, that's part of my process. But in the end, here's how it'll work. If you're faithful and do not lose heart, are you with me now? He says, then, he says, I will give you what I have promised you. He said, that's the promise. Watch this. Satan's temptation is, I will give you what you know God wants you to have anyway. But I'm going to give you the promise without any pain. Y'all aren't shouting good enough right now. This is a good point. I'm going to offer you the promise without the pain, without the process. You can have it now. And Jesus said this. I love this. He didn't just say, no, Satan, I'm not going to do that. He said, get out of my face, devil. Get it. There was a violent, righteous anger that rose up inside of him that said, get your face out of my face right now. Don't even look at me right now, devil. Why was Jesus so violent about his response? It was because he knew that if he took Satan's temptation and got what God had promised him anyway, but gets it now in his own way, in his own time, instead of waiting for it, that he would end up having what God promised him, but the promise would come with a pain, a burden. You with me? Because here's the way Satan works. Satan works this way. I'll give you what you need now, and you can pay for it later. That's why you must understand one of the most fundamental and powerful elements of the world system is that it operates on the mentality of debt. Everything is debt. In other words, what debt is debt is the essence of this nature of this temptation that Satan was giving Jesus. It's saying, look, yeah, God wants you to have that thing. He wants you to have that. So why don't you just go ahead and get in debt for it and just get it your way, because you know God wants you to have it anyway. See my look? Listen one minute. Instead of waiting and saying, I'm sorry y'all had to deal with this today. Y'all didn't expect this, did you? Instead of waiting to get it God's way, even if you have to walk for a while, waiting for the car. All right, maybe that wasn't a good place. All right, let's go somewhere else. I loved John Osteen. Y'all know the name Joel Osteen. His dad was John Osteen, and John was one of the guys that was one of my mentors. And John Osteen, he used to say this all the time. He said, here's the way that we operate as a church, and we operate in our family and our lives. And he said, this is the way you should operate. He said, and that is that, he said, how did he say it? He said, we sleep on the floor until we can afford a mattress. And when you sit on a box, or we eat off of a box, I guess it was, until we can afford a table. And he says, so in other words, the point is that debt is never a factor in this. Because he understood that all that debt was, I'm giving you a preview of John Evanzini here. That's not my whole field normally, but it's like this relates so much to what I'm talking about here. And I'm not trying to obviously make anybody feel bad or condemn anybody today for debt. I'm just saying this. It is a righteous, noble cause. If you develop a righteous anger inside of you against the oppression and the depression and bondage that Satan has caused you to suffer through because you've gotten in so much debt. And I'm telling you what, God will turn it around for you. All you have to do is, yeah, come on. All you have to do is just say, devil, you get out of my face. I am no longer letting the world overcome me. Somebody shout yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here's the thing. It says they overcome by our faith. Whatever's born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So in the latter part of this, let me talk to you about this. Let me talk about faith itself. When he says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Faith is such a big subject, and it's just huge. I've preached countless messages on it. And for me, faith is not something that I do just when it's not like something I pull out of my pocket and throw against a mountain when I say praying for the mountain to be moved. It's not just some moment of believing God for me. The Bible says over and over, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by his faith. And so anyway, he said, this is what overcomes the world is, the victory that overcomes our world is our faith. He says the victory that overcomes the world. In other words, he's saying faith is the victory. He didn't say faith brings us the victory. He said faith is the victory. What in the world does that mean? Here's what it means. Ultimately, when Satan attacks you, he's never after your stuff. He's after your faith. If you look at Job, and you know his house and his livelihood and all these things, and his wife looks at him and he says, why don't you just curse God and die? And so he said, I forget what he said, but anyway, get behind me, Satan, or something. Anyway, not that. He didn't say that. But anyway, listen, because Job understood this, and that is that Satan ultimately wasn't after his stuff. Now, Job was in a lot of pain. But the reason, you know, you take this statement that Job made. You remember the little statement? It's well known. Where he says, though God slay me, yet I will trust him. Now, you know, a lot of people, preachers, have had a problem with that. And they've struggled over that. Because they say, well, you know, that's not theologically correct. God wouldn't slay you. So there's this whole argument whether God does it in an active way, slay, or if he just allows it, or if he doesn't even allow it at all, you know, and it just, you know, happens, and which nothing happens without God allowing it. But that's another whole story. But anyway, so what in the world does it mean when he says, though God slay me, yet I will trust him? I tell people, I say, you have to understand the moment that Job was in. Job was not a professor in a seminary giving a lecture on theology. That wasn't the issue. Job was a guy who had just lost everything, and his body was racked with pain. He was hurting physically. He was in anguish. He was suffering grief over losing his kids. He was suffering, you know, the loss of all the everything else that he had. Job, when he was a man full of pain, crying out of his pain. So I tell people when he said, listen, when Job said, though God slay me, yet I will trust him, he was not making a statement of theology. He was making a commitment of his faith in God that, listen, I mean, I don't know, work it out theologically. God doesn't allow it. He does allow it. Who gives a flip? All I know is, sorry for almost cussing there. Now, Job didn't say who gives a flip. That's my thing. Listen, he's saying, all I know is, God allow it, not allow it, cause it, not cause it. I don't care. All I know is that nothing is going to separate me from my faith, my trust in God. Not hell, not earth, not people, not demons. Nothing will shake my faith. Because Satan is not after your stuff. He's after your faith. Come on, you get that, huh? Look at your neighbor and tell him that. He's not after your stuff. He's after your faith. Tell him that. Now, I just want to bring out one point about this faith, and then we'll close this off. And here it is. This has always intrigued me. There are many places you can go and just study how faith works. But this has always been one of my favorites. It's in Romans chapter 4. It's the story of Abraham and Sarah believing God for a child. And it starts with God speaking. Look at this, Romans 4, 17 and 18. Paul says, as it is written, this is God speaking now. As it is written, God says, I have made you, Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. So he's saying, past tense, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist, as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. So here's the thing I want to bring out. The first thing God does whenever he wants to accomplish this in Abram and Sarah's life, bring them a child, bring his promise into fulfillment, is the first thing he does is he says to Abraham, past tense, I have made you a father of many nations. I want you to understand this, something about how faith works. I have made you a father of many nations. Now, he wasn't a father yet in the physical. They hadn't become a father. But he says, past tense, I have made you a father. And then I love this. He says, God, who calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And I was pondering that one day, and I try to be real honest with myself and with God whenever I'm looking at the Scripture, and not pass over passages that I have questions about and not ask God the question. And so I looked at this one day, and I said, God, you said past tense, you've made Abram a father. And then it says here, God, who calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I said, God, how can you do that and not be lying? Well, it got quiet then, I'll tell you right then. How can you do that and not be lying? Have you ever heard this, you know, an accusation against faith and against the faith message in the church? You know, and the accusation is this, and that is that y'all speak those things which do not exist as though they did. In other words, you're calling those things. You ever heard that, right? You know, how can you do that? Well, God does that. It says he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So I just said to God, since people accuse us of it, I just decided to ask God. God, how can you not be lying when you call those things which do not exist as though they did? Tell me, God. And you know what? God opened this up to me. He said, Rick, he said, you have to understand the nature of my nature and where I stand as opposed to your nature and where you stand. I said, okay, God, explain. He says this. He says, whenever you see things, you live and exist on a linear timetable, meaning you were here yesterday. So when you were here, come on, let's y'all listen to me. When you, oh, I'm on my cell. When you were here yesterday, you were because you're operating on a 10-minute linear timetable. You couldn't be there today or tomorrow because you're going to be here. He said, now you left yesterday, and now you're here today, right? So the fact you're here today means you can't be there yesterday or tomorrow. But eventually, you're going to be over here and tomorrow, which means you will have abandoned today and yesterday because you're operating on this linear, you're moving forward on this linear timetable. He said, well, Rick, he said, I do not function or operate on a linear timetable. Hallelujah. He said, you ever thought about this passage where it says that God sees the end from the beginning? I said, yeah. He says, here's the way that works, Rick. And the why I say to you, admonish you in your faith, to call those things which do not exist as though they do, is because he says, you operate on that linear timetable, but he said, I operate outside of time. Because God says, I am infinite, which means I am in everything and everything's in me. I'm eternal. I always was and I am and I always will be. There's no ending, beginning or ending of me. You know, I am omniscient. I am omnipotent. I am everywhere. I'm omnipresent. I am all power, all of these things. So God is in everything and everything is in him. He said, which means, listen, he said, the way I operate, he said, I as eternal God, who was the first, the last, the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega, he says, right now today, he said, I stand at the past. And he said, I also stand at the future. So he said, look at it like this. When I made you a promise, and I said, by his stripes, you not are, you were healed. He says, here's how you can understand why I said that. Were past tense healed. It's because when I made the promise, we were there yesterday, right? He said, well, at the moment I made the promise, I was standing at the place of the promise. But at the same time I was standing at the place of the promise, I was also way down here at the place of fulfillment. Because he said, if you understand my nature and how I operate, he says, I am not at the moment, the present, waiting to move toward the future. He says, I am at the past, the present, and the future all at one time. So you can see, for me, God says, He said, I'm not speaking something that's just a hope or a pie in the sky. The only reason God says, I call those things which do not exist as though they did, is because the moment I made the promise, I'm standing at the moment of promise. But he said, I'm down here at the moment, and I'm already seeing and standing at the place where it's fulfilled. I said, but God, you're standing there, but I'm not. So how can I call those things which do not exist as though they did? He said, Rick, that's what faith is. He said, I realize you're not standing there. You're standing still over at the moment of the promise or somewhere in between. He says, but here's what I ask you to do with your faith. He said, since you can't see, you're not standing at the moment of fulfillment, and you can't see it done. He said, if you believe that I see it done, then you just believe that you see what I see. He said, all you've got to do is believe I see it. If I say it, I see it. If you believe I see it, then you just believe it's done. Y'all out there today. Oh, hallelujah. He said, that's how I call those things which do not exist as it is, because I see the end from the beginning. When I saw that little concept, it completely changed the way I functioned in my faith, because I realized that I am not believing God so that something can happen. I'm believing God, believing that something already has happened. Y'all out there today. And I'm going to tell you right now, everything you need in God, every miracle in your physical body, every financial breakthrough you need, every breakthrough you need in your mind from some tormenting spirit or fear or anxiety, everything that's come against your life and your family, your job, in your business, I'm telling you right now, all of it depends upon you taking up this kind of faith that says, in Jesus Christ's name, this is what I'm seeing right now in the natural, but here's what God has already done. God has already promised that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, that my need is already met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Y'all listen to me now. If I believe that, then I can start praising God like it's already done and not be down in the dumps and pouting while I'm going through the battle. Amen? Everybody stand to your feet. Everybody stand to your feet. And I want you to just do this with me. I mean, if you all can grasp that kind of faith I'm talking about, and I want you to just picture yourself right now. Whatever it is that you need as a miracle in your life, whatever breakthrough you need, think about it right now. Just take it and grasp it in your mind. What is it that you need to break out of or break through or over into? What is it? Take it in your mind right now. Hallelujah. And then I want you to say this with me. Say, dear Father God, I am not standing at the moment of fulfillment. I'm standing at the moment of the promise. But I believe that you do stand at the moment of fulfillment, and that you see what I need as having already come to pass. So by faith, I believe in what you see, and I claim that it's already done in Jesus Christ's name. Now I want you to lift praise like it's already done right now. Yeah! Come on, lift praise like it's already done. What would you do if it already happened? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I ask people, if I ever ask people to do that, I always think, you know, people respond something like that. But how would you really act? How would you really act? Just think, if the miracle you needed came through. Hallelujah. Some of y'all you'd run around this place like a crazy man. Right? You would just say, oh, praise God. You'd be jumping over chairs and doing headstands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray your blessing upon this people right now. Lord, I just pray, God, that the things we've spoken today will be sealed in their hearts. Kolere vrabase kalnamande lefrastongre refanaba. Yeah. I just feel the presence of God being released in this moment right now. Somebody is being touched by God. God is bringing a manifestation of his presence upon your life. to drive out all that junk, the worry, the fears, to let faith arise. Father, we thank you for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit in this place right now. In Jesus Christ's name, let's just worship him. God, I need you. One more time. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
Every hour I need you. My one defense.
My right. I hope you all brought a doggy bag, because that was more than enough. You know, wow. I write notes for a reason, because I got to go back and re-devour. I re-listen to these messages, because I've got to re-devour. It's not enough to get them once. And I challenge you to be a person that comes every week with a notebook. Bring your Bible. Write in your Bible. You should be writing in your Bible. And make sure you bring a doggy bag with you, because this is good. If you want to watch this message again, you can go right on our website, histabernacle.com. Go up to watch, hit archives, and watch it again. You should watch this again this week. This week. Because this right here is not milk. This right here is meat. And I want to challenge you to get your steak knife out, your fork out, grab it, eat a piece of it, put it away, put it back in the fridge. Don't do the microwave thing. Pull it back out, grab your knife again, eat another chunk, let it digest in your spirit, because this is what's going to change our lives. Amen? You know, one of the things I love about His Tabernacle is we are people that honor our guests. And so the ushers are passing out envelopes right now to honor the guests. And I ask everybody, if whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to you, we never come in with a crowbar, a pry bar. We want you to just be led by the Holy Spirit to bless the guests. They come here with no remuneration demands. They don't come in and say, I need this amount of money. They come in and say, whatever God gives, I'll just receive. And today, I want to give you opportunity to sow. Whatever man sows, that shall he reap. You don't want to sow anything, that's between you and Jesus. This is between you and God, no, nobody else. You can make it out to His Tabernacle Family Church. We always give them one check. And watch this, every penny that comes in does not go to expenses, it goes right to Him. Why? Because we want to propel them as they're going to New Zealand, as they're going across the world preaching the gospel. And you know what I love about this man? He never came in and said, you know what, if I don't get this, I'll never come back. He comes in, and whatever God gives is what he receives. He's a true man of the Spirit. Amen? Father, I speak blessing right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, as people are just getting ready to sow, God, whatever they sow, Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you're going to bring them to the place of reaping. And God, we give you glory. This morning, before we just take one more step, I want to give this. Everybody, please bow your heads. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I never go a service without giving an altar call. Why? Because you might have been in this room and you've never heard the gospel like this before, and today you want to receive Christ as your Savior. It's not joining a church. It's not joining a religion. It's building a relationship. God wants a relationship with you so he can take you on this adventure of victory in faith. And so today, if you need Jesus as your Savior, or you know there's a sin between you and God, and if he came today or you died today, you wouldn't go to heaven, and you want to make yourself right, I want you to slide your hand up right now. If that's you in the room, you want to make yourself right this morning between you and Jesus. Is there anyone in the room? I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, young lady. I appreciate that. Is there anyone else? You can put it right back down. Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you. Anybody else this morning?
Oh, thank you very much, young lady. Thank you. Anybody else? Not going to wait real long. 5, 4, 3, 2. Last call. Get your hand up. 1. This morning, as you bring your offerings to bless, if you raise your hand for salvation, I'd love you to meet me right here. If you're a guest, please make your way to the guest reception room. We'd love to meet you personally. So this morning, Lord, bless everybody wherever we go, whatever we do this week, for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted,
amen.
Amen. Come bless the Lord with your seed. And if you raise your hand for salvation, please meet me right up here in the front.